Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. We're inviting you, of course, to join us in the Zoom fellowship right after this, where you get a chance to see your other Unity family, listen to some great music, and actually have discussion about the talk. So, please join us. If you don't know the link for that, you can find it in your e-newsletter or weekly update. Or you can go to our website and find the link for it, which is located, if you're watching this on YouTube, right in the box below us. Also, we appreciate all the wonderful donations that you send to support Unity Center of Light. We ask you to, if you're interested in being inspired by this service, please consider donating to Unity Center of Light so we continue the work that we're doing both here and in the neighborhood. For example, we've given out 47 backpacks this year to students, to different schools, for students who didn't have supplies. So, you know, you help us to continue the work that we're doing. And again, if you don't know how to donate to Unity Center of Light, you can find the many ways of doing it by clicking on that Show More button right below. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 9th. Keywords are world peace, and the affirmation is, peace creates beauty in the world. An artist creates beauty out of a spectrum of shades and hues, and the diversity of color adds to the depth of the artwork. In the same manner, the differences in the world show the possibility of splendor when combined in the right way. I envision a world in which all people are accepted exactly as they are, and I set an intention to practice and facilitate goodwill toward others. I behold the world around me and find examples of people and cultures blending and mixing in magnificent ways. The potential for peaceful interaction and coexistence are endless. Acts of kindness, honesty, and healthy communication paint pictures of harmony. As I choose non-judgment and unconditional positive regard, I create peace in the world. The scripture is Psalm 34:14, and it reads, Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So today we are looking at, well, the title is Living Between the Old and the New World Order. And basically we're going to start on a journey trying to understand the differences, let's say, between the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, and the Beatitudes that Jesus talked about, all right? But anyway, this title, really has a double meaning, living between the old and new world order. First, it's referring to the way that the corona pandemic, changed so many of the structures we used to order our lives by, okay? The old world, the old ways we were comfortable with, because we knew them so well, they were taken away from us without even giving us a chance to choose, right? So an interesting question to ponder is, was change necessary and was it forced on us not by some deity called God, but by the deeper desires of the human consciousness that knew that change was necessary, but also knew that we were incapable of initiating the level of change that was needed, okay? And yes, there is a lot of effort to bring you know, back, you know, the old ways, and we're doing that. People, institutions and folks are doing that as much as possible. But this is because we have not yet been able to clearly define what is the new world order. So we're kind of holding on, trying to hold on to some of the old world order because, like I said, we don't know exactly what the new world order is going to be. I think we're evolving towards it, but we still don't really know. So that's one side of the double meaning of this title, Living Between the Old and New World Order. The other side has to do with the new world order in consciousness that Jesus was trying to teach us. And this new world order in consciousness was the basis for his Sermon on the Mount. Okay. So it says in the book, Your Hope of Glory by Elizabeth Sands Turner, that the Sermon on the Mount is the new law. It is not meant to invalidate or abolish the revered Mosaic law. It is meant to teach us how this law may be fulfilled spiritually. Moses stated the law. Jesus explained the way to obey it. So in a sense, the law given to Moses by God were at the level of consciousness at that time. Okay. However, Jesus' divine commission was to raise consciousness, which was the essence of his Sermon on the Mount. So Emmett Fox explains that the Sermon on the Mount is the only sermon that Jesus gave that's recorded in its entirety. Eric Butterworth said that it was a well-detailed, well-organized piece of masterful work. And the whole sermon, if you're interested in reading it, is recorded in Matthew chapters 5 and 7. Now, Dr. George Lamza, world-renowned expert on Aramaic language and customs, says he believes that Jesus actually had a carefully prepared manuscript for this particular sermon. And this is probably what ended up in Matthew's possession. Okay, and this assumption is partly based on the fact that Matthew is the only place in the Bible where it is recorded in its unabridged form. Now, you can find a shorter version of it in Luke 6, 17, 49, which appears to have been copied from Matthew's version. Just some, you know, Bible trivia you might want to know. So the guidance that Jesus shared in his famous sermon is very different from the Mosaic law the Jewish people had become used to. Those laws, in a literal sense, demanded conformity to external practices. But in actuality, there's much more to the Mosaic law that could be understood. Remember, you've heard me say before that there are seven levels of meaning in a lot of the Bible scripture. So there was more to the Mosaic law than just following it literally, just, you know, to conform to external practices. But most Christians studying the Ten Commandments never get beyond their literal meaning. Taken literally, the commandments sound confining and punishing. But in reality, when we get beyond the surface or literal interpretation of the commandments, we find that they are the foundation for spiritual transformation. And as you have heard, you know, many times before, this is what Jesus was explaining in Matthew 5:17 when he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And the evidence of this, the evidence of the importance of the Ten Commandments are expressed in Jesus' next statement, which is Matthew 5:18. And this is what he said. "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so he's, you know, really sharing with us that there's a lot of power in those laws, but we need to understand deeper what they're really trying to say to us. So the Mosaic Law, again, is a very important part of our spiritual foundation. And it was given to us as a set of principles which when understood will expand our consciousness for greater comprehension and appreciation of our relationship with Spirit. But from a literal perspective, the commandments seem confining and in need of expansion. So Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was designed to expand the meaning of the Ten Commandments, right? His message is one of psychological expansion and transformation. And instead of imposing laws about conforming, which may have been necessary for the people of Moses' time, and we could probably say still necessary for some of the people in this time, Jesus teaches us how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, body, and spirit. So Jesus' teachings in this Sermon on the Mount are designed to help us to develop the right consciousness or the right mental psychology to be open and receptive to the thinking which will transform our mind, our body, our relationships, and our affairs from the old world order to the new world order. From ego consciousness, which is the old world order, to spiritual consciousness, which would be the new world order. So our spiritual consciousness is capable of seeing beyond the basic literal meaning and into the truth about what we are experiencing in our lives. Okay? And it is possible that the chaos that we're seeing right now in the social, cultural, political, economic arenas is due to the fact that we are in between the old world order and the new world order. Or as I explained in many lessons ago, we are stuck in the old world phenomena instead of contemplating the possibilities of the noumena, simply meaning we are stuck in that which is known, as opposed to opening our minds to receive the guidance and inspiration of that which is not yet knowable, that which can lead us to the new world order. So, as we enter into the lessons taught by Jesus on the Mount, just feel the difference between the opening in the commandments, thou shall not, compared to the opening in the Beatitudes, blessed are they. Okay? That just sounds different. And dictionary defines the word blessed as meaning to confer well-being or prosperity upon, or to invoke divine favor upon. So in each of the eight Beatitudes, Jesus was conferring a promise of well-being and a prosperous life to anyone who embraced and lived the truth principles embedded in his teachings. So this is an important understanding when entering the study of these spiritual principles. So many people have viewed the Beatitudes with scorn because they seem to present a negative, subservient way of being. And so many were made to believe that they should accept their impoverished fate, in life because they would receive their reward later in some far off place called heaven. Well, neither of these false ideas have anything to do with the true meaning of Jesus' sermon. See, all of Jesus' teachings are meant to empower the true student who is diligent enough to study his teachings with an honest, earnest, sincere desire to find and live the truth embedded in them. Okay, so that's what they're really designed for. So in truth, we will explore the first lesson in the eight principles. And that first lesson, and you can understand when you hear this, why some people don't really like, you know, the Beatitudes. The first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And right away, that can create a lot of turmoil in the mind of someone who's just looking at that purely literally without really understanding. And somehow the church Christian leaders got stuck on that word poor. So consequently, many of the followers got stuck on the false notion that poverty was the way to heaven. And we all know that that's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. And one of the dictionary definitions for the word spirit explains that it is the inclination or tendency that's associated with an individual's mind, will, and feelings. Okay? Let me say it again. The word spirit explains that it's the inclination or tendency that is associated with an individual's mind, will, or feelings. typically our inclination is to willfully impose our own ego-centered thinking based on our perceptions of what we're experiencing, okay? And just think about, you know, think to yourself. That's not a condemnation. That's just the way we've been programmed, all right? So based on our perception of what we're experiencing, even though this is normal, this is ego-based thinking, and it can simultaneously negate the inclusion of divine ideas that are readily available to guide us through every situation. So, yes, stuff comes up in our mind. It's usually stuff that we know of, and this is how I approach life. But that can negate the fact that simultaneously you could be open and receptive to some divine ideas that would guide you in maybe a different way, a way that we don't know yet. So when Jesus taught, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, he was saying, blessed are those who have emptied themselves of their own prideful, willful way of being. And yes, I know that we have been taught that we need to be in charge of our life and affairs, which is absolutely true, okay? But what we're learning from a deeper understanding of this teaching is that being in charge means to have the presence of mind to be open and receptive, okay, to a higher level of understanding. So we are still required to move our feet with the presence of God, but we want to move our feet with the presence of God in our mind, with the guidance of God in our mind, with the guidance of the universe, okay? And remember, we are the universe. We are the expression of God. We are God expressing, okay? So this idea of this divine guidance always being with us is our absolute truth. The idea in terms of being poor in spirit is to let go of some of our own dynamics so we can become open to this higher aspect of ourselves. And this will lead to a life that will prosper us in wondrous, amazing ways, which is the meaning of the word blessed as it is used in this teaching. It means to confer, again, well-being and prosperity upon. So when we open our thinking to divine inspiration and divine guidance, our life will prosper in ways we know not of. And from a spiritual perspective, the word prosper means success in prayer. Let me say that again now. From a spiritual perspective, the word prosper means success in prayer. And it's easy to understand that if our prayers are successful, our life will be successful. Whatever successful means to each one of us. Okay, that's an important point there. Okay, because each one of us have a whole different perception of what successful looks like. So as your life begins to prosper in miraculous ways, it is your heightened responsibility to remain vigilantly aware that you do not allow your ego to claim credit for what is occurring in your life. All right, so let's be clear again. As things, you know, begin to unfold in wondrous ways for us, let's not let our ego claim it says, I'm doing this, okay? We always want to be aware that it's coming from within us. So allowing your ego to claim credit will put you back to being rich in spirit. Okay, meaning rich in your own ego way of being. So Jesus taught that it is by being poor in spirit, poor in our own ego way of being, that our life will prosper in unexpected ways. See, our present perception is we are more comfortable in the phenomena, things that we know, as opposed to the noumena, things that are unknown to us at this time. So we want to become more open to the noumena, which takes, of course, faith. Now, the second half of the scripture says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is another point that has been falsely interpreted by Christian religions throughout time. This idea that if we're willing to suffer and sacrifice now, we will receive a great reward at some future time in a place called heaven. So this lack of understanding probably comes from not knowing the metaphysical meaning of the word heaven, which we've gone over several times. Okay? The revealing word defines heaven as a mental state in which we remain consciously aware of the power and presence of God in our lives, regardless of what is happening around us or what is happening to us or within us. So heaven is the orderly, lawful adjustment of God. Heaven is the orderly, lawful adjustment of God. God consciousness in our mind, body, and affairs. So, for theirs of the kingdom of heaven means it is for each of us to have this awareness of God in our mind, body, life, and affairs at all times. Okay? And the way it's the Beatitude is saying it is, if we are poor in spirit, poor in our own mental, emotional dynamics, we become more open and receptive to the divine guidance that is naturally within us. So the old world order was all about conscious partnership with our ego mind. And it was a natural thing to do, the way to be. Okay? The new world order being taught in Jesus' sermon is about how to develop a conscious awareness and partnership with the divine identity that we are. So when you are poor in spirit, poor in your own ego perceptions, you become more aware that you are the inlet and the outlet through which the creative energy of the divine continuously flows. So with what we have heard so far, and with the spiritual work we each have been doing, how can we know that we are spiritually evolving? Let me say it again. With all that we've been doing, all the true students that are listening to this, well, all we've been doing to grow and evolve spiritually, how can we know that we are evolving spiritually, that we're being spiritually transformed, that we're moving into the new world order taught in the Sermon of the Mount? Well, the following ideas, I'm going to show you, we're going to go through 9 ideas, okay? And it comes from an article written by Alethea Luna and Mateo Sol, okay? And you'll have their information at the bottom of each slide. But they wrote an article called Spiritual Transformation, 9 Signs You Are Evolving. Now, as you watch these, keep track of how many of these signs you are actually experiencing, okay? So the first one is, your old ways of being disintegrate. That's the first one. You begin to notice your old ways of being are disintegrating. You begin noticing thought patterns, habits, beliefs, and other limiting ways of being crumble. They don't have the same hold on you that they once did. And however this makes you feel, just know that it's part of the natural flux of spiritual transformation. Okay? So the next one is, you gotta go to the next one. The next one is new doors open for you. New doors begin to open for you. And you might be presented with new and unexpected opportunities for growth. Synchronicities, meaningful coincidences will increase and you will feel like you are living in the flow, okay? It'll be interesting how many people are experiencing that, okay? So the next one is, you are letting go, and you find yourself surrendering more easily, okay? You feel more comfortable letting the divine presence that you are take over the driving seat for a while, trusting in the wisdom that you are becoming aware, you know, and the wisdom you're becoming aware of, okay? So that's it. So the next one says, and also that one we just went through, it goes along with the affirmation, God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life, okay? That goes along with that slide we just looked at. So this is interesting. Your ego identity begins to loosen, okay? You're starting to let go of, and you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You're starting to become poor in spirit. You're starting to let go of some of your ego identity, okay? And as you undergo the process of spiritual transformation, you become more aware of your attachment to your ego. You stop being so stuck and limited in rigid ways of being. And there's a freshness and lightness within your mind and heart that makes it easier to just be fluid and adaptable. Again, I'd love to see a show of hands about how many people respond to that. So the next one is, some people in your life may leave. Okay? It's common to see people leaving your life during spiritual transformation. It is said that you, I like this, are no longer vibrationally matched to that person or those people. Your vibration now is different from their vibration. So either they leave or you find yourself leaving. Or simply you have, and this is interesting, you have each learned your lesson from each other and it's time just to move on. Okay? And however this makes you feel, this is the point, how it makes you feel emotionally, just know that it's a necessary part of the transformational cycle. And it just happens. Okay? So the next one says, you begin to receive profound insight into the nature of reality. And it's common to receive an influx of deeper understanding about your life and the universe during spiritual transformation. You're starting to get it. You're starting to get it spiritually. And these epiphanies are often referred to as cosmic downloads. I love that. It's as if your head opens and you're absorbing all that there is to know about the great mystery. What once was hidden or obscured, okay, the noumena, now becomes clear and the puzzle pieces of your life begin to fit together. Okay, how does that feel? All right. Now, the next one, you experience energetic purging and detoxification. Now, this could be a little bit challenging. This purification is usually manifested in our bodies. It can often become quite disruptive, okay? You begin to experience some stuff. As you're letting stuff go mentally, you're letting it go physically. And another name for this experience is undergoing a Kundalini awakening, which put simply is a form of energetic awakening, removing energetic blockages that allow you to be transformed on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level. Now, that's a powerful one, okay? This Kundalini awakening, you know, you're getting an energetic awakening. Because why are you getting an energetic awakening? Because you're removing energetic blockages. All right. Now, the next one is you develop more inner security and trust in life. Now, the authors believe that most of us live our lives in a state of near constant anxiety. Okay? It's even in teaching of retailing, when I was teaching at the college, the retailing book says when we walk into a retail store, we have anxiety whether we know it or not. And the anxiety is relieved when we find the item we're looking for. If we don't find it, we walk out of the store still feeling anxious, even though we may not be conscious of it. Okay? So, and it says, even if we are not consciously aware of this fear, it always is lurking at a deeper subconscious level. But during spiritual transformation, some, in very rare cases, all of this looming anxiety is dissolved. And what we're left with is more trust in the unfathomable wisdom of life and the divine. We understand that everything is working for us, this is important, and not against us, right? So the next one is, you experience a deepening love and compassion. And as it says, as the author says, this is the most beautiful aspect of spiritual transformation. Our connection with our heart increases. The hatred or anger we once felt towards certain people disintegrate and is replaced with understanding and love. And this is an interesting one. And sometimes we may experience a feeling of grief for the pain being experienced by those we held anger towards. Okay, so those are the nine ways that you can tell whether or not you're going through a transformation. And I'm willing to bet that many of those, a lot of you are saying, yes, I'm experiencing that. Okay, so hopefully you may be able to relate to some of these signs and, you know, let yourself know that you are actually evolving and you are actually transforming. This will hopefully make some of the, you know, this, we could probably get some great discussion out of this in the Zoom fellowship. So I'm going to end now with this quote from my mentor, Albert Einstein. He said, I think 99 times and find nothing. I stop thinking, swim in the silence, and the truth is revealed to me. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have a meditation with Pamela.
So gently close your eyes and place your feet flat to the floor, or just take that downward gaze. Keep your spine straight. Let's take in three deep cleansing breaths. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. Once again, deeply in. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us acknowledge the power and presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. We decree our oneness with this power, for we each have been made in the image and likeness of God. We are all God's children, heirs to God's kingdom. Take in another deep breath as you relax your neck and shoulders and allow yourself to become wrapped in the everlasting arms of pure love. And I now invite you to take these words as your very own. In the stillness of my soul, God reassures me that I am loved. No words are spoken, for they are not needed. God communicates with me in a language that is understood by my soul. The comfort of God satisfies the longing of my soul. This feeling of being loved and cherished stays with me throughout my day, my week, my lifetime. I am comforted, for I am loved. In faith, I ask God for strength. In love, God reassures me that unlimited strength is always with me. Any concern is replaced with the assurance of divine comfort. God is my source of everlasting peace. Now, for the next few moments, let us clothe ourselves in the silence of the secret place of the Most High. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. I am thankful, Holy Spirit, that you've heard my prayers and have answered them. I go forth this day knowing that your comfort satisfies the longing of my soul. And now we all give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Now please take a moment to come back to your surroundings and know that the Unity Center of Light is here for you.
Thank you, Jenny. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And as I said in the beginning, we are truly thankful for all those who are donating and supporting Unity Center of Light in this still very, very interesting time we're going through. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, and in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. Together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings
as they go forth to continue thy healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And you have light notes?
Yes. I have light notes for today, Sunday, October the 9th. The Book Light Book Club is extending their time in discussion of the book Dying to Be Me. Today is the discussion time for that book from 1 to 3 p.m. And the next book they will be reading is Becoming by Michelle Obama, and that discussion date is November the 13th. The Wednesday discussion group returns with a short series based on the booklet In the Flow of Healing. The booklets are available, they were available last Sunday in the in-person service. You could call the office for a booklet if you would like one. At the November 6th in-person service, we will have Tepora as our guest musician. Also, we have available for your purchase that day the Advent booklets, which are at the table in the hallway. And that concludes our announcements for today. And I know what time it is. It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right,
amen.
Go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom fellowship right after this. Otherwise, have a very wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.